Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
I'm
really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today. And
Yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The only movie podcast that not only accepts the inconsistencies of mermaid folklore, but actively appreciates it. That's Simone LaRue.
And that's Chad Ekowitz. Oh, Chad, you are starting on a high note.
Look, I think we have a lot to say, both being sort of fantasy nerds.
Yeah.
I feel like mermaid folklore is the most inconsistent shit
of
all
sure.
folklore.
For sure.
They just make up the rules as they want to go along, and it's whatever you want it to be. I mean, it's great for writers and things, as we will clearly see from the films we are doing, because they can do whatever the fuck they want. But from, like, a consistency point, it is very maddening.
Quite maddening. it just leaves a lot of questions that are never going to be answered,
no.
And you just have to be okay with that.
Yeah. I like how it used to be sort of, you know, in the 1800s when it was sort of like mermaids brought sailors to their deaths by singing to them. Simple, elegant,
perfect.
Keep it
love
simple.
It.
You know, they're based on manatees.
Iconic.
Yeah, brilliant.
Truly.
When you start introducing like the ability to walk on land and only on certain Tuesdays and the sun.
Yeah
it complicates things. It gets a bit naff. We need to sit down. There needs to be a mermaid conference where we all just sit down together.
Yeah.
And
we're like, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So who would be, obviously we're invited to the mermaid conference because we're going to be organizing party planners. That's just kind of our vibe. But,
oh, the parties will be so fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be great. And then obviously Neil Gaiman, because I think he could probably do something like fucking sick with
mermaids. Yeah. He'd be like, oh, there's this text from the 1800s actually that tells us this. And if you look at ancient Mesopotamians, and we'd be like, thank you so much, Neil.
This is what we needed.
We actually.
Yeah. And then who else would we bring? Or would it just be him? And we just like sit and we're like, fine, you're the de facto leader.
We lure him over by saying it's a mermaid conference.
And then we just chat shit with him, like we do like 10 minutes of mermaids sort of just like,
oh, my dream.
It would be great.
Anyone with hair below their nipples I think as well, like just automatically qualifies as a mermaid.
That's a good point. I think we should have at least one sort of manatee / dugong who's just there, just like, because you know they're the original sort of source material.
Ooh. Those women who perform as mermaids?
Yeah, they should be there.
Get them on board.
Yeah. Talking about those ladies, they're crazy good, aren't they? Like, that's a scary
profession. Oh my god.
I would be terrified.
That's hard. Their abs must be so strong.
Oh man, yeah, exactly. And like, to be able to breathe, like to hold your breath until you get into your like clamshell and it's closed fully, and then take a breath and then like come out and everything's fine. Jesus, how exhausting.
Incredible.
Yeah.
They don't get enough credit, and they certainly don't get enough pay.
No, definitely not. And so, talking about not getting enough credit and not getting enough pay, we are doing two mermaid movies this week that didn't do too well, and I think for reasonably good reason, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah? You would agree with that? Yeah. So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So we're doing Aquamarine, and we're doing, I think, one of the best movies of all time for horrific child murders. And it's not what you guys think as listeners. It's not children being murdered.
Uh-uh.
It's child murderers.
A child doing murder.
Yeah, which is quite surprising for a mermaid film. And that is Scales, Mermaids Are Real.
That is a movie that happened.
Yes, it did. Somehow they allowed this to reach everyone's eyes.
Mm.
Incredibly. Yeah. So,
Anyway,
I think we've decided that Scales needs a lot of our attention, so we're going to do Aquamarine first, but let's not break with the tradition. So what are you drinking today?
I am drinking some leftover Glühwein.
Mm.
Last night, us and Mike, who lives on the same property as us, we all got together. We had tomato soup, we had grilled cheese sandwiches,
yum.
We had Glühwein. The trifecta of comfort.
Damn, you guys must have been so cozy. Shit.
Oh, so cozy. I think we, like, went to bed at, like, 8:30. So just, like, you can't not be sleepy after that.
No, absolutely. How comfortable are your couches, by the way?
Mike's, we were at Mike's place, which is on the same property as ours, so it's not like it was a far walk. they're like enormous. They're these enormous leather couches. So quite comfy.
That's incredible.
It was all just a problem. It was all a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember in uni, you had the most comfortable couches in the universe, and they just sucked
you
know?
In. So we named that couch Morpheus, actually, because, like, yeah, it was impossible. I've tried studying on the couch. You fall asleep. It doesn't matter what you do on that couch. You'll fall asleep doing it.
It was magic.
It was incredible. The real key to it was, like, not only was it, like, super old and, like, super comfy and ginormous, but its two back legs were missing, so it tilted backwards, and, like, you just fell into it, and it embraced you.
You couldn't escape.
But recently, my old roommate, Sarah, she found the listing for that. Like, it was up for rent again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that couch is still there.
Incredible. It's making so many people's lives just that little bit more comfy. Oh,
the
how
naps
wonderful.
Had on that couch.
Ah, oh, what a great. That sofa, I mean, that sofa was about maybe like 300, 400 rand worth of that rent. The rest was, you know, just the space in which you lived. But that couch was
truly
the main event, definitely.
We seriously considered asking if we could take it with us when we
moved. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, but then we were like, actually, it really is a garbage couch.
It was perfect for the time we had on
it. I'm amazed it's lasted this long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was good for the time we had on it, and then we were done with
it. You've got to let it go.
You've
got
to move on. Yeah. You've got to grow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're drinking Glühwein. That's lovely. Mm-hmm. I am drinking a Kopperberg, which is another cider.
I love a Kopperberg.
Who doesn't, right?
And this we get it down here as well.
That's lovely. That's great. And so this is the raspberry one, and it's very, very tasty.
Yum.
I think the danger with ciders, though, I mean, we discuss this all the time. The danger with ciders is the fact that they are just like juice. So you have like four or five of those, and it's like, nah, you're done, mate.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I've increasingly found, like, with beer, I really struggle to have more than, like, a pint. Like, after that, I'm just too full.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Whereas with cider, like, I can have pint after pint, and I shouldn't, but it's easy.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Exactly, exactly. And you look back and you're like, oh, but I've just been drinking juice all evening. How am I so drunk?
Mm-hmm. Why am I so fucked up? Oh, and also, with what are we drinking, my hope is that the president's doing an address tonight. My hope is that he'll lift the alcohol ban so that I can start introducing more variety into what I'm drinking again.
Yeah, because you've just been, like, hard on the wine those last, like, 2 weeks.
It's all just red wine, yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, not the end of the world. No. Lucky to have anything.
Yeah.
But
You need variety. Yeah. It is the spice of life, after all.
Truly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, tell me about Aquamarine. I'm dying to find out about this film from you, and then
let me tell you about Aquamarine.
Looking for a Fallout audio drama? It's True Vault Escapades! That's right, follow the death-defying adventures of Detective Walter Camry and his vault girl Bunny as they solve the wasteland's biggest mysteries. From the dramatic Texas prologue to the high-stakes world of New Vegas, Walter and Bunny risk it all to crack everything from murders, slaver syndicates, and corruption at the highest level in post-nuclear America. True Vault Escapades. It's a Fallout show with a detective twist. Look for True Vault Escapades wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Claire and Haley, played by Emma Roberts and JoJo, respectively, are best friends enjoying the last couple days of summer. Unfortunately, Haley is going to be moving to Australia with her mom soon, so the two of them are really bummed about that because they're so close and they don't want to be separated. So they make a wish that they can stay, and Haley won't have to move to Australia, and they can just be best friends forever. Overnight, there's a huge storm. The next day, in the swimming pool, they find Aquamarine, a mermaid played by Sarah Paxton. Aquamarine is this confident, sassy mermaid who's like, hey, if you help me with a problem I have, I can grant you a wish. And they're like, awesome, cool, we can wish for Haley to stay. What's the wish? And she's like, well, I need to prove to my dad, who's like a mer-king person, that love exists so that I don't have to marry like this random dude he set me up with, and I can like make my own path, like, because mermaids don't believe in love for some reason. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, cool, we can help. And she's like, I want that one, and points to the hottest guy on the beach, Raymond, a sexy name,
oh, goodness
played
me.
By Jake McDormand.
Well, you know what they say, Simone, everyone loves Raymond.
No chance.
So Raymond is the hottest guy on the beach. Everybody wants to be with him. And they're like, oh my God, please pick anyone else. And she's like, no, no, I want that one. Luckily for her, Haley and Claire are two boy crazy girls who have read all the ladies' magazines, and they are desperate to keep Haley in the country. So shenanigans ensue as they read a bunch of girls' magazines, do a bunch of shopping, and try to get Aquamarine and Raymond to hook up. Luckily, Aquamarine is super hot.
It goes a long way, yeah.
It goes a long way. And she's, like, charming in, like, a born sexy yesterday kind of way. And Raymond immediately likes her. There is, like, a little bit of conflict in that Cecilia, the popular girl played by Arielle Kebble, keeps, like, trying to sabotage the relationship because she's super jealous. But, like, ultimately, everything comes back together. There's also stuff with Claire being afraid of water because her parents drowned, and realizing over the course of the movie that she can't just, like, not live her life because she's scared. And Haley realizing that actually her mom worked really hard for that post in Australia where she's going to do a lot of good, so she can't wish for her mom to not get the promotion. Ultimately, Raymond and Aquamarine are doing really well, but he's like, no, I can't be in love with you. I've known you for like 2 seconds. But Aquamarine does manage to show her father that love exists through Claire and Haley's love for each other and for her. So she gets to hang out and do whatever she wants. The two of them, it's implied that they make a wish that they get to see each other often. And Aquamarine and Raymond are going to try and make it work. And everyone lives happily ever after. The end.
The end. So what is your cliffhanger for this one?
My cliffhanger is this one.
Nothing! Two!
I bet I know what it was. I'm guessing it was a mermaid. I can see we have to take this slowly. Mermaid. Mermaid. Fabled marine creature, half woman, half fish. Best known for sitting on rocks, staring into mirrors, and obsessively combing our long, beautiful hair.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's cute. It's cute.
Yeah. It's cute. And I think that's the thing about this film, right? It's just, like, super cute. Yeah. It's early 2000s, super cute, boy crazy, fail the Bechdel test by far, kind of levels of cute. Huh. And you've just got to appreciate it for that.
I don't think it actually fails the Bechdel test. I think there are one or two lines where Haley and Claire are talking about, like, their friendship and how much they're going to miss each other and stuff. And they're not talking about a man. So we're in the clear.
Oh, good, good. Okay, so we can continue to watch this film.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think everything about this is just really, really adorable. You know,
it's cute.
Their friendship is really, really nice. You know, they find this mermaid and she's just ditzy and lovely and like the most confident that you can be. And it's sort of like,
oh my God, so confident.
It's insane. And I think that's exactly what sort of, you know, Haley and Claire?
Yeah.
Yeah, what they needed is just that confidence boost.
Yeah.
And that's what Aquamarine was for them. And it's just really lovely.
They needed some strong big sister energy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Aquamarine gives them.
Exactly, exactly. And what I love as well about this film is it, like, it doesn't really poke fun at anyone. I mean, obviously, the villain in the movie gets a bit of, you know, hate, and for good reason. But, like, even the creepy older guy, like, they kind of make fun of him a little bit. But then they realize that he's just a giant sweetheart who's just
He's so nice.
He's so lovely, and he just wants to, like...
He's such a red herring.
Yeah, and it's just so nice. It's so nice to see him like that. And, yeah, like, I love this movie. You know what? Like, unashamedly love this film.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, even Raymond isn't that much of a douchebag. Like, he's a really nice guy who just loves being a lifeguard and being in the water. And he's, like, this big, derpy golden retriever who's like, oh, Aquamarine, oh, she likes drinking salt water. I guess I'll drink some salt water, too. Oh, this did not work out. Bless!
Yeah, he's just the cool coolest. I mean, the fact that he's, like, very cool, like, he wants to hang out with Haley and Claire, and, like, you know, he doesn't have any issues, he's not up himself with anything, like, he's just
a cutie.
Yeah, exactly. There's that scene at the end where he, like, kisses them both on the cheek, and he doesn't realize how much it means to them. Like, he just does things, everything he does in that movie is completely earnest, and that is the beauty of Raymond. Like, even when, like, Aquamarine is like, do you love me? And he's like, well, no, because, you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, how can a teenage boy be more sort of emotionally intact than a lot of these films and things that we watch where they've known each other for 2 days and they're like, I love you with all my heart, you know?
I'll die. Outrageous.
Yeah, exactly. Outrageous. This is the kind of shit we need for future generations. Mm. Not things like Twilight, where they're like, oh, I love you, you 17-year-old girl. I'm 100. Let me prey on your flesh. Let's have derpy guys.
I'm just here watching you sleep.
Yeah, let's have derpy guys who drink salt water for the people they like. Kinda like.
Ladies, I feel like everyone, especially like when you're young, once in your life, you date a well-meaning dum-dum. Like, they're so dumb.
They're so dumb.
It's so fun. Exactly. I dated a well-meaning dum-dum, and then he was really dumb, and he broke up with me, but, you know, that's
And that's why he was dumb. That is exactly why
that's
he was dumb.
That's why he was dumb. His whole family told him he was dumb.
Exactly. I think that is your, like, pride and joy story. I love you. Love it when you tell that story. It makes me so happy.
It really is. He was so good at making out was the thing.
They always are, these dumb boys. Yeah, because you can just instruct them. You can instruct them. You can tell them what you like, and they'll just do it.
I hope he's okay.
Here's one to dumb boys.
Yeah, right? Here's to dumb boys everywhere.
Exactly, yeah. What didn't you like about this movie?
You know, I had no complaints, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, like, it wasn't the deepest movie. It wasn't, like, you know, a heart-wrenching tale of betrayal or anything. It was just, like, nice. Like, these girls are sad that the one girl's moving away. This mermaid shows up, and she's like, I can help you with that, but first, let's go shopping. And they're like, absolutely. And it's just fun the whole way through, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it is exactly what it says on the box, and it's great.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I think what I really loved about the fact of this movie is it isn't a true sort of cookie cutter love story in the fact that at the end it's about friendship and the love of friendship. What are you talking about, early 2000s? This is so off book for you. That's fucking awesome. What a Shyamalan twist in the most adorable way.
And I like JoJo's character. It's kind of implied that she's a bit of a tomboy and she dresses kind of boyish. And like, I was worried that like by the end she was just going to be like dressing super feminine or whatever again. And like, that's not really it. Like, she's more comfortable in a dress at one point in the movie, but like, she's still very much herself and she never stops being like comfortable with herself like that. So that was cool. Like, I'm glad that they didn't treat it like a total character flaw that like she didn't dress super feminine.
Yeah, I think this movie is surprisingly woke. You know, I think that's what really makes it fly under the radar is because you hear the word aquamarine and you hear the plot being a mermaid comes to town and you're like, okay, this is going to be true trash. But in reality, it's actually fucking awesome. And the messages that it sends are great. It's, you know, young girls learning that their parents, you know, may do things that are a bit shitty, but it's actually for the greater good, and that you can't be afraid, even, you know, that you need to get past your emotional scars at points, and that friendship is the truest love of all. What great fucking messages.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's all cute, and like, sometimes you just need some highlights to reinvigorate your life.
Exactly. And little tiny starfish that talk into your ears.
They compliment me. That was cute.
How nice would that be? On a really sad day, just chucking in some starfish. Dreams. Oh, it would be so good. Do you think the mermaid element of this was 100% necessary?
I guess, kind of, because it introduces, like, some tension throughout where, like, she has to be away by sunset because her tail's gonna grow back for reasons. it all, like... Mermaid lore in, like, kids' movies like this especially just feels very arbitrary. You're like, sure.
It is arbitrary.
Sunset.
Yeah, it is 100% arbitrary. Yeah. So what, like, so inherently all mermaids are essentially Jewish in the fact that they must be home by sunset. You know, and, you know, the second you get water on
it's over. The day's
ruined. Your tail's coming back. Which, again, why the fuck would you even, like, proposition going into a swan paddle boat?
Yeah.
You know, those things are notoriously wet at the base.
Yeah, those are never dry.
That's not a thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, how does it all work? Where does the mermaid lore come? I mean, at least with vampires, they kind of like to, you know, apart from Twilight again, just changing the game, you know, 400 years down the fucking line. You know, vampire lore has stayed consistent. Werewolf lore has stayed consistent. Mermaid lore, more or less. Mermaid lore, I think it's just at the hands of the writer.
It's totally up to you. Like, there's no prescribed text for mermaid lore, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not as far as, like, teen girl movies go.
So, I mean, it must be great to write a mermaid movie. I can imagine, I would expect there to be a lot more mermaid-based movies than there actually are, purely because of the fact that, you know, you have such wide wiggle room to just fuck around with how they work.
I feel the same. Like, there's nothing holding you back. There's no reference text, really. No. You're just like, mermaids, their tails come back when the sun goes down. Fuck it.
Yeah. Should we write a movie where on every, if you're a mermaid and you're out on land, if you're out on land on a Tuesday, you get reverse mermaided. Any other day of the week, it's fine. Like, you're allowed to be on land. But if you're on dry land on a Tuesday, reverse mermaid. Top half is a fish.
There was also, I remember there was, like, another one where if it was high tide, then their tails came in. And then if it was low tide, they could have legs on land.
Good lord.
Or something like that. Like,
that is...
Yeah.
That is very tough.
Imagine, like, having to, like, that is a lot keep of... track. Be like, oh, shit, tide's coming in. I've got to bounce.
That's crazy talk. That is really difficult.
But I guess at least that makes sense, right? Like, their bodies are then in tune with the water. Yeah. Like, why would their bodies be in tune with the sun?
Exactly. That's the opposite of what you need to be in tune with. The moon is kind of your guiding celestial
You'd
body.
Think.
Yeah. That's very strange. Maybe we should write a mermaid movie. That's what we should do.
Yeah. I think we really need to think it out and be logical about mermaids.
Exactly.
That's what everyone wants.
I've heard that quite often on the streets when I've done my lots of Vox Populi. I just go out on the street and I ask people what they want from their next mermaid movie, and that's exactly what they say.
Logic
and tying them to the right celestial body.
And absolutely no whimsy.
No whimsy. None of that bullshit anymore. Keep that for the early 2000s. Pre-2010, that's where whimsy belongs. Mm. Yeah. I think my only issue with this movie is that meme. This is the origin of that meme where the two girls are whispering to each other.
Yeah.
That meme is so sexualized, but these girls are 12.
They're babies.
They are.
They're like
babies.
Proper young girls.
Yeah. When I saw that scene, when I saw that snapshot, and I thought about that meme, and I was like, "Ooh, that's not good at all. That is icky at best."
Yeah, they're just like, I don't know. Yeah. Everything's horrible. People are disgusting.
Yeah. Really, really disgusting. What kind of pervert saw Aquamarine and was like, right, this is what we're doing. We're going to take this snapshot and make it sexualize it. Oh, we do love men sexualizing teenage girls.
Thanks,
oh,
men.
Oh, the best. Men, we are the worst. Bow, bow, bow. So, do you have a scene that could have saved this?
Honestly, I just wanted more of Leonard being a nice guy. He was so cute. He was so cute.
Mm.
He just got a bad rap, and he's like he figures out that Aquamarine's a mermaid, and he's like, "Nah, I'm just here to help you out. Like, I just like, there's no reason for it. He just figures it out, and he's like, let me help."
Yeah, he's lovely. It would have been cool if like you got more scenes of him like trying to woo what's her face, and then you know, like she's like, "No, no, no," and like then he saves Aquamarine and he's like, and he asks for the wish to be with her. And she just goes something like, "No, no, she already loves you. You don't need my wish." And then they go and have like a really emotional scene. And she's just like, "I was just waiting for the right time." And, you know, some really cute reason why she doesn't want to be with him yet.
That
would be so cute. Yeah. Yeah. But genuinely, apart from like, that's just from yours. But like, from me, no notes. This movie is great. I love this movie.
It's a delight.
It's so, so
just
good.
It's a cute, cute mermaid movie.
And would you watch it again?
Probably not. Just like, it's not really my vibe.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Like, it was fun to watch it. It was fun to watch it again now, but like, I can't really think of a mood that I would be in where I'd want to watch this again.
That's
true.
It's not a film that you just put on. You're not like, you're not going to wake up one day and be like, "Today I'm going to watch Aquamarine."
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think, although, I mean, I would watch it again if it was on.
Yeah.
Or if I was, like, entertaining small children, you know, and I wanted to teach them a really, really good and important lesson about the future.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think I would ever really just put it on. I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, Chad, are you ready to tell me about scales?
To be honest with you, Simone, I don't think I could ever be ready to tell you about scales because this movie...
You're so brave to do it anyway.
I think this is what the Wild Wild West was like in the fact that this movie is just full of murder, complications, and people doing things that don't really make sense.
Baffling. Baffling the whole way through.
Baffling.
There are few things better on this earth than settling down with a good book and losing yourself in its pages for hours. Unfortunately, with the demands of our modern lives, the time we can dedicate to reading is growing shorter and shorter. Simone and I love to read, but our lives are just so busy, we aren't able to get through all the books on our shelves. But that doesn't have to stop us from reading. Simone and I have made the switch to audiobooks. It's a great way to digest the content you're looking for in a book while still being able to go about your day-to-day tasks. It's like having someone read you a bedtime story, but instead of going to sleep, you could be driving to work, doing the dishes, or ignoring your tyrant of a boss. If you like reading as much as Simone and me, but don't have the time, we have a special offer for you. Head over to audiobooks.com through the link in the show notes, and you'll get 3 audiobooks for free. This includes 2 books from their VIP section. Audiobooks.com is a great website with over 200,000 titles for you to choose from, all of them professionally produced. We know you'll find something you'll love, but in case you need any help, I would suggest reading Open Book by Jessica Simpson. You'll be pleasantly surprised by the valuable and deep insights Miss Simpson has to offer. It's well worth the read. So, head over to audible.com through the link in our show notes and get your first 3 audiobooks for free. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I sure am.
You sitting comfortably. So, Siren, played by Emmy Perry, is a preteen girl who is on the cusp of puberty. She lives with her adoptive mother, Tiffany, played by Elizabeth Rom, and on occasion, her best friend, Crystal, played by Nikki Hahn. Siren is a little bit odd because she is always super thirsty and dreams constantly of living in the ocean. One day, whilst at school, Siren meets Adam, played by Jack Dylan Grazer. He's a bit of an oddball too because he has brittle bone disease. The two of them become good friends instantly, but Crystal is really suspicious of Adam and warns Siren to stay away from him. Sometime later, Siren goes over to Adam's house and meets his father, Gary, played by Steven Sneddon. He's a hunter who has moved to this town because he believes he can find a cure for Adam's illness, though he won't say just quite what that cure is. However, he does show...
Yeah, it's not obvious at all.
No, not even a little bit. It's super subtle. However, he does show Siren that this harpoon thing that he has... On the one end is just your standard harpoon, but on the other is a glowing blue orb which, according to legend, summons mermaids. Essentially, this harpoon is a way to catch and kill mermaids. Siren is a little creeped out by Gary, as she should be, and goes home to tell her mum about him. Siren's mum also warns Siren to stay away from Adam because him and his dad are bad news. So life goes on, and Adam and Siren become firm friends until, one day, Siren faints. She wakes up in the hospital, and that's when her mum tells her that she is, in fact, a mermaid. Apparently, her mum was a mermaid, and when Siren was born, these hunters wanted to kill her real mum, so she had to abandon Siren to Tiffany and return safely to the ocean. Turns out, a lot of people in their town are mermaids. Her principal at school, some of the teachers, and even her best friend, Crystal. They are all pretty much half-breeds, however, which means that they have to return to the sea for 3 years and then stay on land for a subsequent 3 years, and so on and so forth. So when Siren turns into a mermaid soon, she will have to do the same. Obviously, this freaks her out a lot, and she runs away, trying to avoid everyone. Over time, she comes to terms with the changes in her body and accepts that she is indeed a mermaid. The others then try to teach her as much as they can before she has to venture off into the sea. At some point, Adam reveals to Siren that her dad is in town because he heard that there was a human around who was transitioning into a mermaid. According to legend, if you take the blood of a transitioning mermaid, it will cure any illness a person might have. Gary wants to bleed the transitioning mermaid in order to cure Adam. This gets Siren thinking, and she reveals to Adam that she is the said transitioning mermaid, and she is happy to give her blood to him when she turns. Adam doesn't believe her, but promises not to tell his dad because, well, his dad's a creep. As you can imagine, Adam does eventually tell his dad. Him and his buddies go chase down and capture Siren's mum and use her as a hostage, and forces Siren to give them her blood. Only, it's too late. Siren has made it to the ocean. That is, until Gary pulls out the harpoon thing and calls Siren back from the ocean. Unfortunately, this also brings back Siren's real mermaid mum, who is this super powerful and basically the queen of the mermaids. Because of this, we then learn that Siren is not a half-breed, but a full mermaid, which means she can go in and out of the ocean whenever the fuck she likes. They defeat Gary and his crew, somehow cure Adam, and live happily ever after. The end.
The end. Chad, what's your cliffhanger?
So, it has to be this one.
You about to throw stones at me?
No, sir. At your window. But I decided against it before you came out.
And who are you?
I'm Siren, Adam's friend.
Siren? Well, that's a curious name.
It's the only name I've ever had, so it's not very curious to me. Sounds normal. But that might have been true no matter what they called me.
Well, he's inside. Come around.
Thank you.
So, you're one of Adam's friends. How old are you?
11, almost 12.
Well, happy almost birthday to you.
Thank you. Maybe since you dropped by on me, I might
drop by also.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to almost break your dad's things, though.
Don't worry about those ships. He's got tons of junk here.
I like this one.
Ah, the whaling stick. It's used to kill large fish. They say the ball at the other end is used to call them to shore. Its tip can pierce through tough skin. Some fish, kind that you might read about. Well, some fish, they are quite difficult to catch.
I don't really read a lot of books about fish.
No? Your mom doesn't tell you any stories?
Are you guys hunters?
Depends on what's being hunted. That's a tranquilizer gun. It's not for kids.
Anyway, Siren, what did you need?
Nothing really. You want to go on a walk,
Dad?
Sure. Take a walk. After all, you have two legs, don't you?
And it's the first time that Siren meets Gary, and he just is like the biggest fucking creep in the world.
He's so weird.
He's like, could you imagine going over to a friend's house and their dad just like gives you all of this information and is like overbearing so and super dominating?
Oh my god.
You would have to not be friends with this guy anymore, right?
But like, to be fair, all the dialogue in this movie is not how people would talk.
No. It's wonderful, but not in, like, an exposition-y way. It's more in, like, you're an alien who has never heard a human being speak before.
There are so many baffling things that happen in this movie. Should we talk about the end? Should we talk about what happens at the end?
Are we gonna talk about the murder? Yeah, let's talk about the murder that happens.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's so perfect. So, Gary kind of becomes chill after Siren's mom comes back from the ocean. But they've got this one...
Because
Gary's
they heal Adam, right? Like, Adam, like, convinces his dad. He's like, no, Dad, don't kill the mermaids. Mm-hmm. And Gary's like, cool, sure. And then Gary's, like, assistant guy, who's also the only person of color in the whole movie. He's like, no, I have been studying mermaids my whole life, and I don't want to stop now. And then he throws the harpoon at Siren's mother, and Adam jumps in the way, and obviously with his brittle bones, they all shatter, and it looks like he's died. And I don't know what happens to the harpoon, though.
Look, we don't need to know.
Like,
it
doesn't hit him, and it doesn't hit anyone behind him.
No, exactly. It kind of just disappears into the void, and Adam's bones just shatter into a million pieces. But then he's healed, so it's all fine. It's all right.
Yeah. So then they heal Adam, so Gary's like, okay, cool, I guess mermaids aren't that bad. And then his assistant guy is like, no, I came here for a mermaid. And Siren, who it was established can control water, she's like, you forgot one thing. You're 65% water. Because she pays attention in biology.
Good on her.
And then she melts him.
Yes. In the most spectacular fashion. Like, the look in her eye when she does it is murderous. That is homicidal intent, rage.
Yeah.
And literally, this 13-year-old girl reaches her hands out.
12.
And
she's 12.
12. And melts a guy. He turns into a puddle of water. And then everyone giggles. And Crystal, her best friend, is like, you're going to have to teach me that one day. Hee-hee-hee-hee-hee. Murder. She wants to learn murder from the murder girl.
It's the most wild shit I've ever seen. Because, like, you texted me and you were like, let me know when you get to the ending of Scales. And, like, I was getting to the ending and, like, they healed Adam. And I was like, I don't know. Like, this isn't that crazy. Like, it's not good, but it's not crazy. And then that happens. I couldn't stop laughing.
It's such a baffling scene. Like, I was working while watching this film, and like, it got to that bit where she reaches out her hand, like, she says those words, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna just stop working for a second, because this has just got very interesting. And then she murders the guy, and everyone's, like, really happy about
Everyone's fine.
And, like, I was just, like, my whole mind was blown that this movie has just turned fucking dark.
Dark.
And, like, my voice note to you was just, like incomprehensible, because it was just, like... What can you say to a child murderer who blows up a human being and everyone else is just, like, completely fine with it? Like, absolutely fine.
I mean, look, there's a lot in this movie that doesn't make sense. The mermaids, first of all, have no sense of self-preservation.
Not whatsoever. Jesus Christ.
They're so dumb. These hunters, like, come to town and they're like, oh, we better watch out for that. And then they immediately congregate and have a meeting at a water desalination plant, which makes no sense. Like, there's no reason given for that. It's not aesthetic at all. Like, you'd think they'd meet at one of their beautiful beach homes, because they all have beautiful beach homes.
The safe house is gorgeous.
Yeah, the safe house. You'd think they'd meet at the safe house.
Yeah, it's a safe house. Come on.
Desalination plant for reasons.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, so we'll move Siren to a safe house for her transition and then immediately send her home and not to the safe house.
Yeah.
And then they give her like two guards who are fucking useless. They're, none of them are armed, by the way. They all have their like little wailing sticks, which is just like a glowy orb. And that's it. Like, none of them are armed.
Yeah.
So immediately, obviously, Siren's mom gets captured. It's amazing Siren doesn't. And then when they go to the hostage negotiation, they all show up. So they're very kindly showing the hunters exactly every single woman in town who's a mermaid.
Exactly. It's so easy to just kill, capture and kill them from now on.
They're so dumb.
It's beautiful. My favorite bit is they very explicitly say, like, they capture the mum, and then they very explicitly say, that's not a big deal, because the second you're in your water, in the water, your mum is useless to them, so they're not going to harm her. Like, get down to the water, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're very confident about that point.
Which is great, and it's true. So, basically, like, they're like, yeah, so don't really worry, it's fine. Go to the water, your mum will be fine.
Yeah.
Cool. And then the one fucking mermaid's like, nah, switch me out. I want to be the hostage, because now the stakes are real. Yeah, and now they're like, now the stakes are real, because, you know, the mum's gone. And it's like, we've got a strategy, guys. We're gonna win this fight, and yet you're gonna fuck it up for everyone. Like,
you're gonna exchange a bishop for a pawn.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, on top of that, they don't even really give a shit about her. Like, there's this, like, awkward scene at the end where she just sort of walks out of the warehouse where they were holding her, like, by herself.
Exactly. And it was, like, a little bit rapey when the guy's like, ah, but I want her around because she's young and beautiful.
Yeah, she's so pretty.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, they didn't know that their backspace button on the computer where they were writing the script didn't work. So they wrote in the whole mum hostage thing, and they were like, fuck, I can't delete this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we're going to have to do something about it. Okay, we'll just switch them around. It's fine. We'll write it in. Plus, it will pad the runtime, and we need this to be a feature film. So we'll pad it with the weirdest switcheroo of all time.
And then this movie also just had so many weird visual decisions, right? So it starts off, it's like fucking Siren, who I don't like. I really don't like her as a character.
No, she's the brattiest.
Awful.
Oh, she's awful.
And she, like, the whole opening scene is like, oh, you know, I have all these dreams about water. And it's like a really weird piece of dialogue. And then, but like at the end of the sequence, she's like, so even though I never spend any time near it. And then we open to a shot of her in her bedroom, which is next to the ocean.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's never explained, like, why she thinks she's
afraid of the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when she's, like, going through her transition, the horror of, like, her midway between feet and fin.
Yes.
It's, like, veiny and
it's
slimy.
Creepy.
It's
yeah.
a little phallic, but, like, fishy. But, like, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
like,
it's
why
really
are you doing
gross.
This for a kids' movie?
That's the thing, right? So, like... looking at this movie and watching it in its entirety, and it does feel like it's definitely a coming-of-age movie, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to, like, understand the message while watching it, and I was like, is this a puberty thing, or are we talking, like, you know, trans rights, maybe? Like, I was really trying to, like, puzzle it around and like, really...
Like, her body's changing. She doesn't know how to deal with it.
Who she is. Yeah, she... Like, there are people who will hunt her down, which is, you know... Yeah. It's
sure.
So I was like trying to grapple with that, but then it's also the fucking weirdest mermaid movie of all time, where like the final 10 minutes are the kind of the most important, when she's just like all of a sudden like pops out the ocean. She's like, oh yeah, I'm a full breed, and you dirty half breeds can't be in land on land whenever you fucking want. Also hated the term half breed, really gross.
Yeah, didn't love it.
No, so I was really I was really confused on where this movie was trying to stand and what the message was.
I think that's a little generous for what it was.
Do you not think there was any message whatsoever? It was just this, like, really horrible preteen doing a really horrible fucking things.
I mean, one of the things I liked was that at least they did use, like, young girls. Like, the girls were actually 12 years old. It wasn't, like, they weren't, like, super sexualized, to be honest. Like, they just looked like normal... girls with, like, normal young girl bodies, and there was no, like, weird male gaze on them through that, which I did like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they were just both totally insufferable characters.
They were. There's that scene where Crystal gives her an early birthday present, and Siren's like, you don't know me at all, but thanks. If someone said that to me...
Yeah, I hate jewelry.
Yeah, if someone said that to me... Like, we wouldn't be friends. Are you serious? Talk about looking a gift horse in the mouth.
Jesus.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
I must say, it was really nice to see Jack Dylan Grazer in this.
Yeah.
You know, young baby kid from It. Really adorable.
Yes. And Elsie Fisher as well in it. She's from 8th grade.
Right, okay.
She's great. I really liked her. She was, like, the bully girl who, like... didn't amount to anything in the movie.
No. Yeah, I think that's another thing about this movie. There's so many false leads. And, you know, there's such a rich depth of character and things that you could do with this, having, like, a whole town full of mermaids. And they just kind of, like, lost the plot.
Yeah. They were like, no, we just all hang out in this desalination plant and sing sometimes.
That was also a really great scene where they're just standing there and just, like, singing their thing. And it just makes no sense. And you're like, right.
Cool.
Okay, this movie is great. Excellent. Fantastic. I can see why this is on sort of the when you put this movie worst mermaid films of all time into Google, then this came up.
It's
substantially pretty much predominantly. You can see why.
It's all confusing. Nothing is explained. We still don't really know what the fuck the mermaids do underwater as well. Like, they're just like, oh, I've got to be in the water for 3 years. And it's like, but what are you, like, are there schools?
But why?
Can you advance your career? Yeah. Like, what?
Your fish
does
career?
Does this look like? Like, do you just frolic for 3 years? Like, how frustrating is that?
Yeah, plus, like, the ocean is really huge. Like, what are you, like, who?
And then, on top of that, like, okay, if your blood can heal people, like, and heal people from, like, any illness... Like, why are they being such dicks about people wanting to study their blood?
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, make a deal. Just be very cool about it. You are human, like, sometimes. Just give them blood and everyone will be fine. Like, That's all it is.
Research your own blood, even. Yeah. Do blood drives. Like, donate. Like, come on. No wonder the hunters hate them. I'm kind of on the hunter's side.
Of course you are. But you are right. I mean, I think, it's very clear that they are established and, like, integrate with society really well. I mean, they're teachers and whatever else in the town. If, like, one was just like, yo, we've found mermaids. They're very cool. I am one. Yeah, why don't we just, you know, here's some of my blood. Not an issue. We're happy to give it. Just don't take advantage. Like, don't hunt us like crazy people. Just be cool.
And then they heal through the power of song, and it's like, okay, so none of y'all are doctors. Like, none of you are just, like, in surgery singing people and healing them through song.
Yeah, yeah. And
dicks!
And, like, what, that is really, really selfish. Like, to just be teachers, be so insulated into your own society and not give a shit about anyone else is so rude. It's rude. They are rude people. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I wanted to talk about, because, I mean, going back to the whole fucking nightmare that is mermaid lore, what makes you a half-breed and what makes you a full-breed? You know, like...
Because there aren't... We don't see any mermen.
No, we don't see any mermen. It's implied at the beginning of the film that Siren's real mum fell in love with a human and then had to, like, leave.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why the fuck, if she's a full breed, why the fuck wouldn't
Siren's
mom?
At all?
Yeah, why wouldn't Siren's mom just take her underground? Like, that's fine. Or underwater, sorry. So, like, what makes you a half breed? What makes you a full breed? Is it just for the convenience of the movie? Like, or.
Is it like a.
Like, is it.
Is it tied
to wealth? Like, are Siren's.
Is there a class system of mermaids? Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about this. You know, why does, you know, Siren think she's a half-breed and then suddenly she's a full-breed? Like, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean, Simone?
I can't. You know what? I'm out. I'm tapping out of this movie. Like, this I watched it. I was baffled. I was infuriated. Mm-hmm. And now it's done.
And now it's over. Right. Fair enough. So what's your scene that could have saved it if there is a singular scene?
I don't know. I think maybe a better resolution for the villains, like, just having your, like, tiny frail son yell at you is hardly the character arc that you're looking for.
Yeah, I think if you were the bad guys and you just saw your friend get blown up, I think you would be kind of more concerned. You would, like, launch a full-scale war against the mermaid kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Like, fuck them.
They blew up your mate.
Especially, like, the guy threatening them wasn't armed. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have a gun trained on them or anything. He was just vaguely threatening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Gary could have taken him out. All the mermaids together could have taken him out, and it would have been absolutely fine. But nah.
Also, can we talk about how, like, tactically those hunters were really shit?
Oh, yeah.
They were really poor tactically. It was just that the mermaids were worse.
Exactly. That is the only way that they got to be together. Like, literally, Gary and his crew came to the mermaid. Sorry, no. The mermaids came to Gary. Like, they did nothing to lure the mermaids. The mermaids just did it. Like, they made their jobs so much easier. Hunting, what is it? Shooting fish in a barrel really applies to this situation.
Truly. The mermaids are so dumb. They truly deserve to get wiped out.
Absolutely.
Is what I texted you when I watched this movie.
Which is quite correct. Yes. My scene that could have saved it is definitely just more of Siren blowing people up. Like, if we're just gonna do that as, like, the final stage reveal, fuck that. I just want to see her, just anyone that upsets her a little bit, she just blows them up, turns them into a puddle of water, and then she drinks it because she's always so fucking thirsty. God. She's just a monster. This turns into a really weird horror movie, and I'm all about it.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Serial killer mermaid. That's what it's all about.
It's like that merman in Cabin in the Woods that has the blowhole that, like, blood just comes out.
Like a weird wood chipper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's the way. That's the way forward. Mm-mm. Oh, man. What a film. And would you watch it again?
No. Oh, my God. No. Once was too much. It reads like a terrible fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, I don't know, I think I would introduce it to people who also have an appreciation for terrible movies.
Yeah.
Just because
that ending... Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Yeah. That ending is just so diabolical. Like, I think people who love bad movies need to see this film. It's one of those. You just have to get on board with
it. That's true. Even if you watch, like, the first 20 minutes and then skip to the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's a better way of doing it.
That's all you really need.
Yeah. The middle is just fluff that is just boring as hell. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super boring.
Yeah. Definitely. Completely. Yeah. Agree with that. Yeah. But I think if you're a bad movie lover, watch this film just once. Just get it out of your way. Get the repertoire done. Yeah. So, I think there's only one question left to ask you, and that is, if you were a mermaid, what would you do?
I mean, I wouldn't fucking go on land, would I?
No, seems like a really dumb idea, right?
Oh, you can either frolic in the ocean, or you can, like, try to keep a career going on land. Gee, which one will I pick?
How difficult. I wonder.
Oh no, I have to give up this bomb-ass tail for, like, scrawny legs.
And you never see, like, fat or sort of non-muscly mermaids. So apparently, inherently, their genetics are incredible. So why would you want anything else than to stay in the ocean and just be buff as fuck all the time?
Yeah, be buff as fuck, combing out my long, beautiful mermaid hair, swapping out an incredible collection of bras.
Oh yeah.
Like, why would I bother doing anything else?
Definitely not. No, absolutely not.
Luring men to their deaths?
I would do that so
squeezing
often.
Squeezing them like a sponge?
Yeah, I would do that so often. Like, that's how I would solve the whaling problem, is I would just, like, head out to, like, the Asiatic seas.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sing some songs to those guys, lure them in, murder, done. Or, if I'm like Siren and I have the ability to turn people into water, I would just do that nonstop everywhere. It would be crazy.
I like that you take a very environmentalist approach to it.
Look, humans are the virus, guys, so...
Oh, shit.
Well, thank you for delving into the weird world of mermaid mythology with me. That was good fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we did that. I can't actually believe that we haven't done mermaids sooner.
So strange, and we will have to do it again.
I feel like... When I was looking at, like, different mermaid movies, a couple of, like, horror mermaid movies popped up. So I feel like come Spooktober, maybe we do a spooky mermaid week.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's a really, really solid idea. I can definitely get behind that. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, Simone, tell me what is your gratitude for this week. I think I know what it is going to be, but...
You do know what it is.
Hey!
So my gratitude for the week is Rudy got offered a job. He's gainfully employed. He's been looking for a really long time. 2020 was hard. 2021's been hard. But yeah, he was offered a job on Friday as of recording. And yeah,
that's so
very
exciting.
It's very nice.
I'm so happy for him. That's going to be really, really great. I can't believe it. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, you two working in the same company is going to be really nice. You know, there's not going to be any awkwardness for, like, Christmas parties, none of that kind of stuff. It's going to be very, very cool. Fine.
We'll be on different teams, so...
But you can go to the same Christmas party and there's not going to be any, like, sort of awkwardness of, like, explaining to each other sort of inside jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I think with Christmas parties, it's really difficult for that when you're just, like, constantly trying to explain, you know, the office gossip and being like, oh, that Rachel, she's the office slut and things like that.
Oh, goodness. Luckily, like, it's all very remote, so there's not a lot of, like, room for gossip.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. You know, some things from COVID really did help. And one of those things is office gossip.
What is your gratitude?
My gratitude for this weekend is... that I have now reached 3 months of gainful employment as well. This will be the employment episode.
Yay!
Which means I would assume that I've passed my probation. You know, I haven't had that meeting yet, but, you know, I've gotten to the 3 months. I don't feel like I've screwed up enough to warrant being put on, you know, probation yet again. So I'm going to go with the assumption that I am, you know, not on probation anymore.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. And I'm loving my job. You know, I think we've come a long way in a year, haven't we, Simone?
Let's touch wood there, Chad.
You're so fucking suspicious.
I am. I don't trust the universe. I don't trust anything.
Wow. Okay. That's going to be this year. It's learning to trust the universe again. We'll get you there. Well, Simone, what are we thinking for next week? Got anything?
I've got nothing. Do you have anything?
Oh, I do. Of course I do, my friend.
Oh, you do.
So, I've got an option for you here. So, I'm thinking we do animated childhood movies from our childhood, obviously.
Okay.
What do you think about these three movies? Hey Arnold, the movie, Rugrats Go Wild, or Tom and Jerry, the movie?
Definitely Hey Arnold and Rugrats. I don't...
Sick.
Really give a shit about Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, the violence in Tom and Jerry is far unnecessary.
Let's do it. I'm keen. Yeah. This sounds fun.
Let's regress into our childhood, watch some delightful
Rugrats. Gone Wild is the one where they have the wild thornberries as well, right?
Really? I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I'm so excited.
I'm pretty sure It's a crossover.
I do love a good crossover. A Nickelodeon crossover is just like, it was Christmas, come so whenever excited. They decided. It was beautiful. Yeah. And I love the Rugrats because they're like a Jewish family. It's not very often that you see Jewish families in cartoons, and it's just so wonderful to watch them.
That's true.
Yeah. So
that's true.
A little bit of heritage. I'll give you a little, yeah. If it comes up, I'll give you a little bit of a Jewish lesson. Why not?
Please.
It'll be good fun. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. We love having you here with us every week, listening to us moan about, you know, mermaids and all the other things that we moan about, and also learning to appreciate things for what they are. And if you appreciate us, we would really appreciate those ratings. We would really appreciate those comments. It really does help more than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
That's why every podcaster asks you to rate and leave a comment. But if you do want to just chat to us more, you know, actually have some face-to-face time with us, even though it will be through your digital screen, you can do that. That is an option. And where can they do that, Simone?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP. They can email us at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com. They can also chat to us on the Robots Radio Discord.
There you have it, you guys. Please come and join us. We love chatting on that Discord, even though it did get a little bit dark the last time I went on the Discord. It made my heart a little bit sad. So if we can keep it light, that would be great for me, even though you guys are really dark and scary.
Hi.
that's you leading the charge on the dark and scary.
I'm not sorry.
No. But as we say at the end of every episode,
we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Bye. Bye. Bye.